Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's Naturally Green at SaverLife.com, and the cold weather has arrived. It was 28 degrees when I got up this morning in Rochester, and that qualifies as a nice hard freeze. We'll see if perhaps some of the annuals, things that are more protected in my yard, may have survived. I also forgot to bring in a little itty-bitty lemongrass plant, and they are pretty tough. And it's mixed in with some other things, so it may be protected. Probably the tomatoes and peppers and a lot of the annual flowers are now finished for the season. But we almost got to October, November, which is tomorrow. So that's pretty good. We sometimes have heavier frosts, earlier in October. Areas outside Rochester did, but I still have tomato plants growing as of yesterday, and we'll see how protected they were. I brought a lot of my tropical plants and things that I bring in for the winter, sort of annuals that become mother plants, the things I've been talking about, begonias and plectranthus varieties. I brought those in. I did forget to bring some lettuce in that's in some window boxes on my flat roof. And I'm a little worried about them. We'll see. They can tolerate. They like cool weather. Not sure that they have survived the frost from last night, but we'll hope. Explore your garden, see what may have survived, and before you go and cut back everything that is dead, maybe the perennials or annuals, consider leaving them. And again, having a little bit more of a wild look for the winter. The snow will break a lot of them down. But also, it may surprise you that it looks kind of interesting out there to have something in your garden. When you cut everything down and then we get snow, it's just, it might as well be lawn out there. There's nothing. But especially things like black-eyed Susans are really kind of pretty in the snow. And so it's not that I'm trying to get you to avoid yard work, but other than getting the leaves off the grass, putting those leaves into your garden beds, allowing the perennials and annuals to just die on their own, really can make a difference for butterflies and other insects, which overwinter, sometimes as a chrysalis, sometimes as a caterpillar. The woolly bears overwinter as a caterpillar. The morning cloak butterfly overwinters as an adult butterfly, which is why in a warm day in March you might see a butterfly, which feels very, very strange. But that's often, at least around here, the ones I've seen are morning cloaks. So they overwinter as adults, hiding probably in the leaf litter and tree crevices. I'm not sure. But they can withstand the freeze and the severe cold of winter. It's kind of amazing, actually, given just how cold it can get. And they're not able to burrow, down into the ground. I suppose some of them might find a warm place, near a house. But my impression is that they just overwinter. Again, with the leaves or in a tree cavity. So after this kind of frost, take a look around today. It's going to be a nice sunny day. Kind of enjoy the yard, enjoy the parks, the fall colors. Still quite a few leaves on the trees. They're going to pick up our leaves here in the city of Rochester in our area, 19th Ward, this week, I think. And that's, again, I don't rake the leaves down to the street. I put them in my gardens. And so sometimes I can get some neighbor's leaves as well to add to mine. So that's a great resource that people are taking down to the street. Lots of potential fertilizer, unless they're black walnut leaves, in which case that's not something you really want in your garden. Now, black walnuts in general have a toxin in the stems, the nuts, which the squirrels have all buried, and as well the leaves, the roots. So if by some chance you have a big black walnut around, you don't want to save those leaves and put them in your garden. But pretty much everything else is great for the garden and for the worms, for just protecting like a blanket, the roots of your plants and things. So so rake them off the lawn into your beds, and if you know, if a neighbor's raking them down to the street or using the leaf blowers, you know, just get a tarp and have them rake or blow the leaves onto that tarp and pull the tarp back into an area where you want more leaves. It's really hard to get too many leaves. You'd have to have a pretty massive pile of leaves to have too many. They'll get crushed down by the snow and the rain over the winter and composted. So you'll have some great soil in the spring. If you have comments, questions, you can email me, michael@saverlife.com. I saw a note about the murder hornets out in the state of Washington, right near the Canadian border. They found the nest, or one nest at least. They tracked a couple of these 2-inch-long hornets, invasive species from Vietnam, Bangladesh, India, China, in that area. And they used dental floss to attach trackers to these two murder hornets, who went back to the nest, and they were able to actually vacuum these hornets out of this nest and found two queens in there, which, of course, that is the key, because they're the ones that are going to lay the eggs for next year. And now they're waiting to see if there are more reports of these murder hornets and other potential nests. So kind of fun to go online and see them vacuum them out of this tree cavity. They actually cut the tree down because they were worried about larvae of these hornets in the tree in areas that they couldn't reach by vacuuming it out. Really quite an operation. They had to wear special suits and face masks because these hornets actually spit a venom. It's kind of crazy. And again, they could kill a person if there were enough of them. The murder hornet really applies to the honeybees that they just destroy thousands of them in a couple of hours. And they get into those nests of honeybees. So they're not as dangerous as they sound, but a 2-inch hornet scare the daylights out of me, and I kind of like insects and bees and wasps and things. But again, they vacuumed them out and then cut that tree down and found a couple queens that were, I guess, kind of tucked into the wood. It's fun to follow, and hopefully they never show up here. That's why they're working so hard to contain them there in Washington. And these full-body suits that they've wore have fairly thick. It's not your normal Tyvek, you know, suit that construction workers might use or asbestos workers. These were extra thick because these hornets have fairly large stingers, fairly long stingers, and so they had to be thick enough to keep those stingers from reaching the person inside. So they are well suited up when they went in search of these murder hornets. And it's, you know, during a cold winter that's ahead, these are kind of fun stories to investigate and just feel grateful that we don't have them here and that they are working hard to contain them so they don't spread across the United States. We're getting perhaps better at this, at identifying invasive species sooner, working harder to stop them or slow them down, And but there's kind of fascinating battles ongoing with a whole lot of different invasive species. And if you're out in your garden and you want to save some seeds, you know, Mother Nature is planting her seeds now. A lot of the plants, especially annuals, you know, they're dropping their seeds. Their seed pods are drying up and opening up, and the seeds are dropping on the ground, and those will germinate in the spring. So if you have some annuals you want to plant, you might actually try planting some seeds now like Mother Nature does. But you do need to be able to identify those seedlings when they come up. You might plant them in rows so they're easier to identify, or, you know, some curving line, and perhaps that will help you figure out where they are. Take some notes, take a few photographs, but also save some seeds from plants that you really loved, or just, you know, ones that you want to have a lot more of next year. Put the seeds in maybe a paper bag, because if you put them in a plastic, the moisture in them right now will probably cause them to get moldy and rot. You want to put them in a paper bag, let them fully dry out, and then eventually transfer them to a Ziploc or something when they're completely dry. I don't know if the Rochester Gardening Group that has been hosting the Rochester Garden Network is going to hold a seed swap. They did last January, but that was right at the beginning of this coronavirus, and so I'm not sure what will happen this year. Perhaps a lot depends on how we're able to control it. This winter, some states are not doing very well. New York State continues to do remarkably well, given the number of people, the number of visitors from other states that get here that do not quarantine. Either they maybe drive here or just ignore the quarantine restrictions from other states for 14 days. And so New York State doing pretty well. And so if we can continue to do that and wear the masks, maybe we can keep businesses open this winter and not go into shutdowns the way parts of Europe are doing, and some states here in the Midwest in particular are probably going to have to do that. I'm not sure what their plan is. They don't seem to have a plan other than just hope for the best and not worry about testing anyone, or very, very few tests being done in many of those states. So New York State on a better trajectory by far, and that will help us all this winter when it seems likely it's going to get worse everywhere. And we're starting from a very low level. It gives us hope to keep businesses open. And if you're wondering about what to prune in your garden, what to cut back, it's not too late to divide things. We do have some cold nights coming. The ground may just freeze a little bit, but it's not likely to stay that way. And so there's still time to do dividing and planting. Someone called me about tree seedlings this past week, and it's ideal time to put seedlings in. They said that there's a couple operations underway. Last weekend, the Sierra Club gave away a lot of tree seedlings, and I think today they're going to perhaps plant some, if there are some remaining ones, in Genesee Valley Park. So you should check their website if you're interested in details. Looks like a beautiful day. And then someone else told me that there's someone in Brighton who has a bunch of maybe fairly tall seedlings, although I'm not sure that they got the height of these right, or 5 or 6 foot seedlings. Those are not really seedlings. Those are small trees, but they might be bare root. And so if you are looking for tree seedlings, I actually have a few some redbud trees, a couple of tulip trees, which are very large growing trees. My seedlings are just 6 to 12 inches tall. They truly are seedlings. But if you... I also have a random oak. I'm not sure. Maybe it's a white oak that the squirrels planted in my yard. And there's a horse chestnut also, compliments of the squirrels. So I've got a few trees that just are going to have to go. Anyway, I have enough trees already. So if you're interested in those, or if you're interested in, I think it was maybe sycamore and red oak that this person had bought, again, uncertain on the height of these tree seedlings or bare root trees, but if you are interested, send me an email, michael@saverlife.com. You can plant them pretty much until the ground freezes. There's really, with a dormant like this, it's an ideal time to transplant and move them. And the red buds have such beautiful purple flowers in the spring, and the heart-shaped leaves are really, really gorgeous. They turn all yellow in the fall. I have one, a red bud in my backyard, and it was just this umbrella of yellow. Then they all fell at pretty much the same time. So just beautiful tree. One other thing that the red buds, I think, is kind of cool, and I wish this one was closer to a house in some ways so we could hear it, but they have little seed pods that dangle from the stems, lots of them, which is why I have all these seedlings. But these seed pods stay on pretty much all winter, and they rustle in the wind, really a kind of a cool way, because there's so many of them, and they get dried out, and they really have a cool sound to them. So many reasons to enjoy redbud trees, and again, not too late to plant any of these things. I still have a couple perennials that are in pots that I haven't gotten in the ground that I need to work on probably later today. And again, a few things like this little lemongrass I didn't get out of the ground that I'm hoping to. Also, if you have tropical plants like calla lilies, acanthus, and elephant ears, gladiolas, dahlias, it's not too late. Even though the frost will have probably killed the tops of them, it didn't go in the ground and kill the tubers. So you can cut them back, dig them out of the ground. Maybe not all of them. Maybe you don't want. You may be surprised at how many tubers they've created over the winter, over this past summer. But you want to let those tubers dry out, maybe in your basement, and have knock or brush the soil off them first. Let them dry out. Knock off more of the soil that might still be there, and then you could pack them in peat moss maybe for the winter. Sometimes you don't even need to do that, but you do need to keep them fairly dry, cool, dark, and maybe check on them a couple times this winter just to make sure there's mold or things growing on them. And the key to that is to let them dry out for probably at least a week, somewhere in that range, and before you pack any of these away. And I know people who store many pounds of dahlias and cannas. From that one canna lily, you might get it almost looks like a really huge ginger root. And then you can break that up in the spring into probably 4 to 6 plants. And you can see how you could end up with a lot of them in a couple of years. So maybe you just save one of each color, one of each variety, maybe two of each variety to hedge your bets. It is the time of the year that you want to dig those out of the ground, now that frost has generally killed the tops of them. But it's certainly not too late to get the root systems. So if you have comments, questions, email me, michael@saverlife.com. The fall edition of Upstate Gardeners Journal is available. It's online, upstategardenersjournal.com, or you'll find it at area garden centers. There's a purple smoke bush on the cover, brilliantly colored, and kind of a cool shrub to have in your yard. Large growing shrub, but one that sometimes people cut down drastically every few years to keep it more under control. And it's got some great leaves in the summer. And then the flowers kind of give it a smoky look. Lots of little tiny flowers, not showy in terms of color, but more in texture. And then the fall foliage on them is captured in this photo by the Upstate Gardeners Journal. So you can, again, you can get it online. You should consider becoming a subscriber just to support local magazines like this. It's their 25th year here in 2020. And Jane Milliman started it, you know, a quarter century ago. It's amazing to think that. So the Upstate Gardeners Journal, a new issue is out, and a lot of people miss this issue if they don't get it mailed to them because maybe they're not going to buy bulbs in the garden centers, and it is available for free at area garden centers right now. And you should go get some bulbs to plant. In some ways, maybe I was thinking about this a few days ago, the election in a couple of days is worrisome in many ways, and planting a couple dozen daffodils today is kind of it's a vote of hope in the future. You'll be able to watch those bloom this spring, and kind of whatever happens with the election, they're still going to come up and bloom in the spring, and that is maybe a tiny bit of comfort for people who are really worried about this election on Tuesday. It's kind of hard to believe that the Trump is saying that they've won the battle on the coronavirus, that we shouldn't listen to the doctors, that they're overhyping the number of deaths or the number of infections. That's just going to cause more problems with more infections and more deaths to go down that road. I guess the plan is you have to claim victory, even though it's clearly anything but a victory. And that's his only path to trying to get reelected. And some people will believe that these numbers are overhyped, that this coronavirus is a hoax, that it's all going to go away. But it's not. And if you decide to ignore facts and science, then this is what happens. It goes completely out of control, and it's doing that in a number of states right now. So it's the most important election that we'll have in my lifetime, and I hope that you will get out and vote, especially for the down ballot offices. Not just Congress, but also the state legislature, the county, the village, the town that you live in. All of these votes are critical if you haven't voted already. I dropped off my ballot a week ago in Monroe County office building. Obviously, don't put it in the mail at this point. It's too late to do that, but you can drop them off very easily, very quickly at the county office building, at least if you live in Monroe County. And again, all of these races at all of the levels, town, village, city, county levels, all of these are more critical than I've realized before, as we've fought battles, environmental battles in the Finger Lakes against gas storage and against trash coming from New York City, more trash coming from New York City, a lot of it already does. We discover that these small towns play a huge role in these decisions that affect the entire region, not just those areas. And so, again, vote at the national level, that's crucial. But in the long run, the local level, those races are immensely important. So make sure to get out and vote next couple of days. And again, the infection rate here in New York State is pretty low. Wear a mask, observe social distancing, be careful, but we're in a much better place than many of the other states, most of the other states in this country. We'll be back with Fort Love of Food. Following that, Discover the Finger Lakes this morning. Tomorrow, it's the Grapevine. Michael Warren Thomas here. Get out and vote. Enjoy this bright, sunny day. Have a great day. Be back tomorrow here at saverlife.com.